Oh boy, this is the perfect loose horseshit because I forgot even what I was talking about 5 seconds ago.
AIDS.
We clap and it goes away. No, you were chanting AIDS. I know that.
No, you're talking about
saying
titling.
Up with AIDS. Up
titling,
with AIDS.
Titling your book.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks for the plug.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's been called The Climb, which is very generic, but I'm trying to think. It comes out in a week, and I'm trying to think if there's something more provocative I should title it or subtitle it.
And I suggested AIDS, and I think the audience is with me. Also, does it come out a week from when this comes out, or does it come out when this comes out?
No, it'll be out by the... Okay, so it came out 2 days ago.
Wow.
Go get it now. Well, you'll see what it's titled if you go to patreon.com/smallbeans.
Still,
probably
I still haven't been able to
still.
Check it out. I'm gonna have
no
a few
worries.
Days off, and I'm hoping. I'm sort
Ooh.
Of like I don't know what it's gonna be. You know what I mean? I'm like I'm doing Thanksgiving with Hannah's family, so I'm sort of marching to the beat of their drum.
I'm hoping
it'll be relaxing.
How intimately do we know Hannah's family at this point?
Oh, I've been to many Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, you've been
events
to many an occasion.
I've
okay,
been to
cool.
some funerals. Like they just welcome me
oh,
with
shit.
Open arm. Yeah, I've been
wow.
there for very like you know that thing where you like you get thrown into a very intimate situation.
Sure. No, I mean no, it hasn't happened to me, but I can imagine.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Like where I just became welcomed into their family. I think they like my energy because I'm very low. You know, I'm low maintenance. I'm calm. So,
yeah, man.
Yeah.
There's a reason you're called Cool Dave.
Right, exactly. That's yeah. why they all, the whole
Turn
family
the
calls
cool.
me Cool Dave. No, I mean, I think we've been dating for like a few years now. I lost track.
Yeah.
It might be going on 3. So it makes sense.
It's more than I probably feel like it is. Yeah, in the heat yeah. of the moment, I was like, have you met her parents yet? In my head. And then I'm like, wait a minute. It's been years.
Yeah, exactly. So
time flies, dude.
It really does.
Yeah. I have something totally unrelated, but
yeah.
that's fine because it's loose. The Chiron of this episode was Bigfoot's Choice, which made me remember that I wanted to tell you because you're doing a great podcast series called Sasquatch, where you watch stuff about Sasquatches. I just wanted to make sure and check and verify that you're going to cover Willow Creek. Is Willow Creek in there?
I think so.
Please
do not
sleep
on it.
We
have a Patreon producer, so this isn't our concoction. Someone came to us with it and they have a
I'm
list.
Just glad.
Yeah, they have a list
yeah.
and I'm pretty sure Willow Creek. That's the Bobcat Goldthwait movie, right?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I
it's
like that
movie.
It's
a found footage horror movie that is very disturbing.
I really liked that movie. Apparently that was originally just going to be a documentary. Like because it is real documentary footage mixed with
for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think he like I don't know what happened. I think more documentaries should do that. Like if you're making a documentary you're like this is kind of dragging. Let's just make shit
Let's
up.
Let's make the ending be whatever we want.
Yeah, I like that. I like that attitude.
Well, if Tarantino can, you know, Inglourious Bastards, do
yeah.
whatever you want, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I would like tell people, you know, I wouldn't pretend it was real, but it's like,
no.
it's fun to do something where it's like the first half is a documentary and the second half, we just went nuts. We Blair
right.
Witch that shit. I don't know how much the people in the documentary would appreciate that, but
right.
I'm sure you could do it reasonably with consent.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you doing
what
for
else?
Thanksgiving?
What's new?
You doing anything?
Oh, sure. Thanksgiving shit. Easy.
Easy
to talk
Low
about.
Hanging fruit.
Low. Yeah. My dad's going to see my new house for the first time. He's coming up from LA area.
Nice.
San Diego area. Just family shit. Going to my brother and nephew's house and hanging out there. See, maybe it isn't low hanging fruit because it's pretty boring. My family's also not dramatic. There will be no big fights.
Yeah.
I guess the only real thing that's specific is we're going over all my dad's not end of life stuff, but like if you get demented, what do you want to happen? If you suddenly
right.
stroke out, what do you want to happen? You are old enough that stuff makes sense to do.
Yeah.
So that'll be weird.
That'll be weird, but it's never
Speaking
too
Speaking of being thrown
early.
Into an intimate situation.
I always
no.
think about doing that for me. I'm like,
frankly,
oh,
it's
man.
Too late. He's like 72. That's
right.
a good time to do it for a man or have it done.
My mom has joked multiple times about murder suicides and my dad doesn't make
With
the
Pop?
Joke. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Hi,
like,
Suzanne.
That, you know, that concerns me.
Sure.
Yeah. But
does she say which way it would go? Which end is the murder and which the suicide? So does she even imply that heavily?
She doesn't have to. We all kind of would know, you know?
No way that dad is murdering mom? There's just no way.
No.
Or okay.
No,
she's
again,
the killer. She's got the killer instinct.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
So he did.
Yeah.
Who would win in a fight between my mom and dad? Interesting. I never thought about that.
Yeah, I know. Depends on who's more angry, I guess. I don't know. Or who's armed in the moment. But that is, I don't know.
And what age?
I wish you could run like simulations where you could like put in the stats of two people.
Right. Like 40s. My dad, obviously, and it would be domestic assault and it would just go that way. But nowadays I think my mom could take my dad.
Yeah.
Because guys start to fall off faster, you know?
That's the other thing is like usually moms win, meaning that they live longer.
In the end run. Yeah.
I want a fighting game now where it's parents. It's just all parents, like Mortal Kombat fighting game, but it's
various
parents.
Do you remember that fighting game where what it boasted is you could program anything into it and it was like anything fights anything and it was community supported and it was like 80% Family Guy characters.
Of course.
Usually the one, what turned up, but
The fighting game I legitimately need to exist. And I know that there's only one thing close to it and it's the Fight Club game. I want dirtbag fighting, meaning that all the rounds are
Pit
like
Fighter.
What?
Pit Fighter for the Genesis.
Maybe
where the
levels...
backgrounds are just like a bar or
yes.
an alley
okay,
and it's
good.
Just assholes
yeah,
fighting after
it to
a
be
show.
Like a stadium outside a stadium or a Waffle House, obviously.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I think we need a new one then.
No, Pit Fighter for the Genesis was like that, but that's so old at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
We need an updated version.
There was the Warriors game. That was kind of that.
Oh, was it?
Really.
I never played that. It looked
well.
Neat.
It's more fanciful because they live in like a heightened reality version of New York where gangs are themed.
Wasn't
and shit.
That Rockstar?
Yeah,
that at
and
the time
fine,
seemed like the coolest idea. Is Rockstar doing a Warriors game?
That is a cool, and it was a good game. I liked it.
I never played it. I never heard anything about it, so I just assumed it wasn't good.
Oh, it was fun fighting.
That's
Fight
cool.
Club, dirty shit, yeah. But also neon shit. So like not real. You're talking about grimy and real.
Yes.
Warriors is like a fanciful version of grimy and real. Sort of like, you know, Batman on rollerblades or
right.
what have you.
I'm loving, we're talking about video games, but I'm loving the
we always do.
The trend, like I haven't played the new RoboCop game, but I love the Friday the 13th game. I love the trend of video game adaptations that are really nailing the tone.
Everyone's old enough. Yeah, the people who grew up on that shit are old enough to make games now.
Yeah, I want like cheesier. I want a Miami Connection fighting game. If you've seen that movie.
Hotline Miami? Oh, the movie.
Miami Connection. Oh, okay, it's a very cheesy martial arts movie that was shot in Orlando in like, I want to say the 90s, but it might have been the 80s, with like really surprisingly good music. Like I want more like weird niche video games.
Beverly Hills Ninja. Shit
yeah,
like that.
Exactly. We can make them. I have another video game thing.
Do
if
it.
You want to hear that. I was
you
just
heard me
listening,
up, but do it.
All right. I'm sorry. I was just listening to your Minecraft one-upmanship for some reason.
Oh, that's old as shit.
I think you guys need to revisit it because that was the impression I got. I was like, oh, this is old as shit. Like you guys, a lot of what you're saying was obviously still relevant. But I don't know. You never talked about Minecraft as like a speedrunning game, which it became like more popular.
Right,
as.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And the new updates, the nether updates. There's just a
the
lot
nether,
more
yeah.
there.
Yeah, you and Adam and Cody should do that episode.
Oh,
that'd
okay. I see. I see.
I liked it, but I played it once through to the end, and I don't get why people play it forever and ever. I guess I do because it's like Legos.
I started speedrunning it,
don't.
And it gave it new life to me.
Yeah.
Which
I
is
don't
surprising.
Do that where you, yeah. But I know like Mario becomes more fun that way. If you're like, okay, I beat it, but now maybe I'll do that with Sonic 2. This is Star Trek The Next Futurama.
Welcome to Star Trek The Next Futurama, an epic team up between Gamefully Unemployed and Small Beans. For access to the entire series, find us on Patreon. And now your hosts, Mike and Dave.
Right? Sonic 2? That'd be a good one.
That would be a good
fun,
one.
Stupid fun at? Stupid good at?
Oh, yeah. What I want to do, because the one thing Ganser was complaining about is that he doesn't like it not being objective based. And that's why I'm wondering, would he want to do a speed run? Would he want to try to beat the game? Because I bet he'd enjoy that.
That appeals to the sports gland in your brain.
Exactly.
And,
and there's no mining and there's very little crafting. So
he's a gambler too.
Yeah.
All right. Enough of that nonsense. Sorry, derelict in my duty. This is Star Trek The Next Futurama. It was basically explained to you by Majel Barrett, the voice of the computer. But I'll explain it too. I'm Michael Swaim. That's David Bell. We pair Futurama episodes with Star Trek The Next Generation episodes. That's that. That's that explained. And Dave, say hi. It's upsetting me that we didn't hear your voice with your name. Okay, that's Dave. You heard it. You heard it. You can't unhear it. That was Dave. So now you know us apart. And as host, it's my sublime privilege to recap, in case you're rusty, the events of the episode we'll be covering today. So we go in Futurama order and pair to that. We're up to season 5, episode 5, In the Pipe, 5x5. This one is called Kif Gets Knocked Up a Notch. It has nothing to do with Elzar, and Elzar is not featured at all, which I thought was a little odd. But here we go.
You're right.
So it starts with everyone watching TV, as always. But this time, uniquely, we don't see what's on TV. We just see Amy come in with a party board and get a call from Kif, her lover, if you've forgotten. He's her squishy alien lover. They talk about how they miss each other. Zap walks by naked in the shot, notices Leela in his shot, tries to hit on Leela, as always happens. He's basically the Pepe Le Pew of this universe. And then the professor comes in. Man, everyone's just doing what they were born to do. Professor comes in with a classic good news, everyone. You'll be delivering line. So this time they're delivering a giant pain pill filled with little smaller pills to the hive mind of Nigel Seven, because it has like a giant hive mind headache, apparently. Scruffy's rolling out a large pill. Amy, in order to see Kif, because it turns out where they're delivering is right by where Kif is stationed in the Nimbus, Amy hitches a ride by hiding in the pill. We cut to Zap watching old cartoon. Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry. Well, everyone's asleep. She pilots the Nimbus in order to see Kif. So that skipped my mind because it's so crazy. She thinks she won't get caught, but then she hijacks the ship. So they intercept with the Nimbus. The Nimbus docks with them because, of course, Zap wants to bone Leela. He wakes Leela up in bed. She punches him off of the bed. Meanwhile, Kif and Amy, they get together and they sort of canoodle in his tiny little barracks. He says he'd like her to move in with him and argues that he can live on the ceiling. And she's like, that's so cute. But at the same time, I don't know if we're ready for that step. He tries to prove that they are by taking her to the holodeck, the legit holodeck, although they call it the holoshed, rarely referenced in Futurama, an actual holodeck, but this time it is. And he uses the holodeck the holoshed to show her sort of different lives they could have. One planet where I guess the moon is really small and close to you, cause he grabs it, different things like that, different planets they could live on, different lives they could have, and says he doesn't care if he has to live in a trash can like Zoidberg or whatever. He'd love her. He just wants to be with her. He's totally committed. Then, as it must, as it has to, as is law, the holodeck malfunctions and all of history's greatest villains come to life and are real. So they start rampaging all over the ship. Attila the Hun ends up squaring off with Zap. Zap draws a phaser rifle of some kind. And Attila says, no, 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 don't do that. If you shoot, we'll all decompress. You know, we'll all get sucked out the airlock. Kif says, shut up, Attila the Hun, and does it. And they all almost get sucked out. And Kif is the worst of all. He almost gets sucked out. But he doesn't, because he grabs onto everyone one at a time. Now, it's important to note that his glove was also ripped off while they were getting sucked out. And he shook everyone's hand. Then the moon that he pulled down comes in and plugs the hole. So everyone's safe. But they end up. Yeah, he just reveals it. Okay. He reveals that he's pregnant. I'm sorry, no, a Star Trek-like doctor reveals that he's pregnant, that Kif is pregnant. And Kif explains that for his species, they get pregnant because when they fall in love, they enter a receptive state, and if they hold their lover's hand, they get pregnant. That's enough to get pregnant. But in this case, he held everyone's hand, so they don't know who's the mother, and to find out, they do a maternity test that the professor devises that involves a giant centrifuge. It turns out Leela is the mother, bump, bump, bum, but Kif doesn't care. He's still committed to Amy, and Amy is still his Smizmar, they call it, and she's the true mother. Whoever inspired the feeling of love is considered the true mother in his culture. So he takes the whole crew to a baby shower. I'm sorry, they have it for him, I should say. And at the baby shower, Amy breaks down because she's not ready for the burdens of being a mother. She doesn't feel she's old enough to be ready to be a mother. She didn't consent to it. They didn't have sex, whatever. It doesn't really seem to bother her that Leela's the mother, but regardless, she just isn't ready for the responsibility. And she cries and runs out saying, I can't do this, which Zoidberg does not take well, to say the least. Then it turns out that Kif is having the baby. I guess the gestation's really fast because his water breaks or whatever. I think they call it the quickening, which in Voyager is a horrible disease. But in this, that's what they call childbirth. He has to return to his spawning point, which is his home planet in a particular swamp. Everyone goes with him except Amy. She's off being not responsible. And they get all the way to the grand midwife, who is the person who's supposed to do this whole ritual, but the ritual sucks because Amy's not there, and Kif is alone, sadly trying to do it so he can give birth in the swamp. At the last second, Amy arrives, says, I do love you. I'm just really scared, but I do love you. I do want to do this, and I have the strength to be your mama, baby mama. And in order to prove that, all the kids are born. And they're like a giant clutch of eggs and tadpoles that try to get to the swamp. And she uses a big tree branch to knock away all the predators and bugs that are trying to eat the kids so they can safely get to the swamp. That proves that she is a fit mother, apparently, but not really. And that's good because Kif says it will take them 20 years to mature in the swamp and then they'll be actual practical parents. And she says, that's fine. I'll be ready by then. Although if you saw the new season, you see that indeed she is not ready.
I was going to say there's a real bummer in the new season where you're like, well, right. It has been 20 years, hasn't it?
It's been 20 years and most of the children get killed in that episode.
Yeah.
Funny stuff.
Nice work.
Thank you.
That means
clocking out while Dave clocks in. Yep.
That means it's my turn to tell you what episode we're pairing it with.
Ooh,
what could it be? There's so many possibilities. We went with season 5, episode 10, New Ground.
Ha ha, ha ha.
And I
is
will
what Alexander says in that
explain it. This is actually like thinking about how to synopsize it. It's pretty basic. Captain's log, stardate 45376.3. We are approaching B'Elanna 3, where a new method of propulsion known as a soliton wave, is that what it's called, is being developed.
That's right.
The Enterprise has been asked to participate in one of the first tests of this new technology. So says Picard, making you think that's going to be the A plot. And in fact, it is the B plot, which is about a planet that might be destroyed.
That's right. Alderaan
so,
style.
Data and Worf are dealing with LaForge, who is geeking out over this soliton wave that is going to be a new method of propulsion. He says it's like witnessing, you know, Cochrane engage in the warp drive for the first time. He doesn't, you know, he's bummed that his friends don't care as much. He fucks off to go talk to an engineer. Worf gets a communication from his mother, who is visiting with Worf's son, Alexander. They beam aboard. I think they go to tend forward, and her mother sits Worf down and says, like, listen, we're getting old. It's fucking weird. We have to take care of your kid, Worf.
He is a Klingon. Yeah. Klingons are crazy kids.
Yeah. He's a crazy kid and we're crazy old. Take your kid back. Worf takes it. Okay. He takes it pretty well. Like at first his immediate thought is I'm going to pawn Alexander off on somebody else, but he accepts his mom's problem. He's like, yes, I'll take him off your hands, in order to dump him on someone else. He brings them to the Enterprise school, and the teacher, he tells her basically like he will be here for a little while, not sure how long, and we get a series of goof 'em ups where Worf cannot balance his work and his kid. Picard basically just gives him time off to deal with the situation. And the situation is that Alexander is very difficult at school. Also, Worf doesn't know his date of birth, which, so like Worf is proving himself to be a shitty father.
It's the 42nd day of MacTag.
That is hard. And Alexander's proving to be a shitty kid. At first, Worf just thinks that the teacher can't handle Klingons, and he's very smug about it, until he learns that his son is a liar. And he gets pissed. They visit, like, a lizard museum. That's just on the ship. I don't know why you have to take a field trip there. I don't know. It seems like it sucks to be a kid.
When have we... An arboretum, you could argue there's oxygen, but when has there been a zoo on the ship?
I know.
Why is there a zoo on the Enterprise?
It's like a touring zoo, I imagine. Because the kids seem excited, but it's like, let's take a field trip to the other side of the ship. And it's like, man, that sucks. It's probably
just the holodeck, bro.
Yeah, I know. Alexander steals a lizard model, and the teacher calls him out for it. Worf is like, are you calling my son a liar? Which this poor fucking elementary school teacher has to deal with this shit. They find that he indeed stole the lizard statue. So Worf is very upset that Alexander is a dirty, no good liar. And so he is going to, his plan is to send Alexander off to a Klingon school where he will be taught to be, you know, a proper Klingon. It'll be very rigid. They'll no doubt beat the children, one imagines. And Alexander is like, I don't want to go. Alexander just wants, he's acting out. It's very clear he's acting out. At one point, Worf confronts him in the holodeck where Alexander is doing one of Worf's fighting programs. Worf is both happy to see that Alexander beat up the skull demon, and mad because Alexander's been getting into trouble. So it's clear that Alexander is grappling with being a Klingon in a non-Klingon world, and that's why in Worf's mind, he'll dump him with the Klingons. It also has the added bonus of having to not deal with Alexander, having not deal with a kid. Meanwhile, they're testing this stupid fucking soliton wave, and their first experiment damages the Enterprise. The test ship explodes, and the wave suddenly increases in power and speed and is on a collision course with a planet. Again, that's the B plot. Meanwhile, Worf continues to be like late to the meetings, and Picard's just like, oh, Worf. So they decide they have to dissipate the wave with a photon torpedo, and they have to drive the Enterprise right through the wave. They don't tell anybody. They don't warn anybody. They warn people, I think, like 30 seconds before they do it. They drive through. They shoot the thing, and it damages a bunch of fucking areas of the Enterprise. At the same time, Alexander, who is now mad that Worf is sending him away, ran off to go hang out with the lizard. And wouldn't you know it, that's one of the rooms that is damaged by this fucking wave. They're going to shut down those sections, but they learn that Alexander is in the room. Worf and Riker run down there to save Alexander, and then Riker is forced to save the lizards. Riker is clearly pissed about all of this.
The shot of him holding those puppets that are just like
so
socks,
funny.
Just like eels, is so funny.
He's so pissed. But Worf, in saving Alexander, realizes how much he means to him and is like, you know what? The Klingons would be a great challenge, but a bigger challenge is to stay here on the Enterprise, as evidenced by the fact that they just flew into a giant wave without telling anybody and almost killing everybody, even though there's kids on board. Great case. This episode's a great case for why there shouldn't be kids on the Enterprise. In fact, they should just have... Why don't they at least have seatbelts? Why don't they say, like, everybody strap in? It's ridiculous.
Get to your little cubby.
Yeah. You can't just drive into... Like, what are you, Enterprise? What are you? Are you a cruise ship or are you a fucking warship?
The
Make
way
up
stuff
your mind.
Works, I don't understand why they couldn't pre-program a macro, say, like, computer, Picard, code, Alpha, Omega, 1, and then all the kids are teleported to a safe room, and then a shield is put around that room.
I don't know.
Why not?
I don't know. I don't know why any of this. I don't know why they didn't beam Alexander out. I forget what
that's
bullshit.
What's fun.
Yeah, I'm sure they made up some bullshit at the time. But yeah, that's the episode, and then Alexander will be sort of part of the crew from here on. as evidenced by Deep Space Nine episodes. Let's just say Worf doesn't do the best job.
Dude, that's what's interesting is Worf sucks so hard that there's an episode called Sons and Daughters in Deep Space Nine where Alexander joins the Klingon like soldiery. You know, he becomes a Klingon
warrior.
And
he's like Klingon Mr. Bean.
And he comes, yeah, he sucks, but that's beside the point. The point is he joins the ship and Worf is like, oh, it's Alexander. So he's lost touch to the point that he doesn't know shit about his son or where he is.
Yeah.
He's like, whoa, you're here. Well, that's weird. So yeah, he sucks. They both suck. He must have been a pretty shitty kid for them to send him to live on a Navy boat. Like, you know what I mean? It's the equivalent of sending them to live
so
with your dad, but your dad is in the Navy. He's stationed on a battleship.
Yeah, we're getting ahead of himself, but watching this, I was like, Worf is right. He should go somewhere else. Not because Worf doesn't love him, but because like the Klingon school that probably beats the kids is more safe than
That's right. So we'll get there two segments from now, I believe. But first, we have to talk about why we paired this episode with that episode in a segment we call Good News Number One.
Good News
Number One.
I think we chose the right one, but like, I'm wondering how the Troy Gets Prego one matched up and what
is
we
that where
will
Troy's
match. Remember that one where she gets
mother comes and shows him the mud baths?
No, she gets magic pregnant. Troy gets magic pregnant.
Oh, the child. The child. Yeah.
I wonder what
you
we're going to pair
better
that
than
with.
This?
No, I don't. I'm just curious because that was the first one that sprung to mind. And I think we were right to do this because I'll just talk about the similarities.
I'd like to say why I don't think that one works for this is at the core of it. She's immediately happy to have the child.
Yes.
And says like, I would never abort it. And she wants the child the whole time.
That's what
although
I was,
like the Futurama, it is true that at the end they both get like, never mind. You don't have to be a mother.
I think we chose the right one because the only similarity is that it's a sci-fi pregnancy, meaning that someone gets pregnant without sex. But in this one, it's about a lead character who is surprised by a sudden parenthood and struggles with balancing that and their responsibilities. They attempt to abandon the kid and pass them off essentially to someone else. And that Amy Bales and Worf also tries to pass off Alexander to Klingon school.
And it's specifically important, I think, on that point that the child, one of the primary concerns in both episodes is that the child is raised in line with their native culture. Like that Kif's kids are raised, whatever you would call it. Amphibios? Their planet's called Amphibious Nine, but I don't know what you would call them.
Amphibians,
I guess just amphibious.
I guess. Yeah.
But that doesn't make any sense to call them that. Anyway, but you know what I mean. In both cases, there's a point where the father's like, I wish the mother was here so we could do the rites correctly.
Right.
But we can't because she's not here. Yeah.
And there's also, this kind of switches off, but like, I think Troy is a little like Kif as well. There's someone putting pressure on Worf to be a parent the whole time who seems excited about it.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
There's also, they both are pressured by their parents. Worf's mom and Amy's mom.
Amy's parents are like, call us grandparents. All we want is to be grandparents. Yes, accept this responsibility. It's good. Take it. Yeah, I thought that was a big one. Both involve ooey gooey gross little creatures. Kif's kids and the Gilvos.
both involve... a scene where the child is saved from danger, also with weird reptile creatures involved.
Also there. That's right.
Yeah. And
we're forcing it together, but it kind of works.
But that it's the same sequence that also makes the parent accept the responsibility ultimately. So,
and ultimately it's that core thing of if your child is in physical danger, it kicks in. The parenting urge kicks in. They both involve futuristic surfing, the Soliton wave versus party boarding.
Yep. They both have holodeck scenes.
They both feature someone misusing the holodeck.
Yep.
That's right.
They both just sideline these kid characters anyway. And we never really see them much.
They're put off forever. And they're both season 5, which I only mentioned because they're 5'5 and 5'10. And this made me realize, I wonder if we'll ever get one where it's the same. You know what I mean? Like they happen to coincide.
Yeah.
The same
have
episode
is the
same. Have
we not gotten one already?
Plot.
I could have sworn we got.
I don't know. Okay.
You might be right though. I feel like I would have remembered.
But that's all I got. I think that makes sense. Yeah, that's why the pairing's there. So let's start picking apart the Star Trek is what we usually do in the next segment where we just dive in and talk about whatever we want. It's Bite My Shiny Prime Directive.
Bite My Shiny
Prime Directive.
See, it's a good name for that segment because it's like, we don't care. We talk about what we want.
Exactly.
Some of this already bled into the previous segments, but
yeah, I can't stress it enough. It's just really, it's so loud in this episode that they're like, should Alexander stay here or should he go to the school? And I'm watching, I'm like, at the same time, it's like, should a kid be here? At the same time, you have Picard being like, let's fly this fucker into a wave and fire some torpedoes.
So that's the main thing is, I think they really whiffed the potential ability to comment on what's going on with Worf with, and I know this is trite and the structure's used all the time, but Star Trek uses it all the time. And why not here?
Right.
Why is the A plot not a metaphor, or why is the B plot rather not a metaphor for what Worf is going through? It has nothing to do with it. It's just another unrelated thing. That's
you know what
happening.
It feels like? I wonder if Star Trek writers just have these like they had like a long list of like background things that can cause a destruction. You know what I mean? Where they like this felt right. such a generic, like pulled out
it
of
felt
a
felt like
list.
It was going to be a full episode and it never got fleshed out.
Right. Cause it could have been any reason that the ending disaster happened. Right. Like it's so unrelated to the lizard. Like if it was something where like the lizard went crazy and like attacked people or something, you know, like it's not at all related to the weird little lizard.
It's a coincidence.
It's a complete coincidence. And so,
although I want to point out that they said that those lizards are critically endangered to the point that there's like 19 in the galaxy.
Right.
Alex is right and smart to go save them. Why wasn't anyone thinking of saving them?
Right.
Like, why were they not taken when that room was evacuated?
Everybody who's supposed to be
it's
wrong
like
is
It's like leaving
right
a panda there.
Yeah.
It's then, like leaving a polar bear there.
And why are they doing that while also doing this reckless act? I can't stress this enough. Like, how many times on the Enterprise does someone simply just fall and hit their head and die? Because, like, they just... They just drove into this and they don't tell anybody. So there's
no, in fact, Riker just goes, here's option one, here's option two, but it's riskier. And he goes, let's do option two. And then they do it.
Right.
There's no downtime where anyone could have told anyone what's going on.
Right.
So, you know, they just did it. It's like when they warped Troy without her consent and just warped her into a brick wall or whatever.
Right. Yeah. And it's so weird because kids aside, it's like, even if this was a warship, like let's pretend it's a warship that doesn't have kids, you would still tell people like, hey, buckle up, right? Like,
right.
Hey, everybody, we're about to do something real rough. Sit down, stop what you're doing, buckle up.
At least tell people to sit down.
Yeah.
Also, that reminds me, I don't know if you notice, but when the Soliton wave fucks them up and they shake the camera and everyone does the thing where they run, you know, people act like they're shaking so that they can just shake the camera. Riker full on throws himself to the ground and rolls all the way over and sticks his feet up in the air and his butt up in the air. It's so funny and cute.
Yeah, I'm imagining the director like, okay, cut. Wow, Jonathan, really going for it that take. All right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It looks like he just had a fun time that day.
Yeah.
You imagine stabilizing that shot and that these people are just hurling themselves around, it's quite funny.
It is great. I also want to note just with this B plot, it's so funny how they're just gods at this point. Like they're like saving a planet, an entire planet from a destruction they almost caused. And Worf is like late to the meetings and he's like, that's all right, Worf. And that's just funny to me because it's like literally the fate of a planet. And they're just like, yeah, you can miss this one, Worf. It's fine.
And he's like, you're not the first person on the ship who's had a kid. I get it.
Right.
You know, even if a planet's on the line, if your kid has to get picked up from soccer practice, which we have here for some reason, then you have to go do that.
Right.
I'm a cool boss about this shit.
Yeah. I have a couple quotes.
Sure.
I just want to know, all you care about is your honor. Seems like something Klingon children must scream all the time at their parents.
Very common. Teen lament.
This little comedy bit, Geordi. Data, isn't this exciting? We're going to witness a moment in history. Data, every nanosecond in this continuum is a moment in history once it has elapsed. I would just give him a wedgie right there and then.
The past is different than history.
Come on,
a robot
Data
should know that.
Yeah. That's like his version of a joke, you know, like.
Query, Snoop? No, I'm not going to answer that. You know what Snoop means. Fuck you.
Also, why isn't Data interested? It's so funny that Geordi is so nerdy that even Data is like jerk off motion, rolling eyes to Worf. I'm like,
Data,
that's amazing.
Should be eating that up. That's why they're friends, is shit like this.
It's amazing.
And it is important. Geordi's absolutely right. Even though the show's trying to paint him as a nerdlinger, it's fucking crazy what they're about to do.
Right.
They're going to do warp without warp drive, which we know from Force of Nature will save the universe because warp drive is destroying everything. And if you didn't have warp drive, they couldn't have meaningful commerce or intercourse with other cultures. So literally the Soliton wave technology is saving everything in the Star Trek universe.
Right.
And they're like, please shut up about the Soliton wave.
Yeah, whatever, man.
Yeah. Alexander pronounces Kalis as Kalis, and Worf nods in approval. And I just noticed that Star Trek plays really fast and loose, way more than Star Wars, for example, where people pronounce, it's Kalis. It's always Kalis.
Right.
And where people like will pronounce things completely differently and they don't care and they leave it in. I always think that's interesting.
Yeah. And honestly, I think that's realistic because you have so many aliens, like people would have so much trouble. That actually brings me to the idea of the teacher in this. Imagine being a teacher aliens. Yeah, where you're like, okay, I'm not gonna get most of your names on the first try. Some of your names require more like different types of mouths. And then what are you teaching them? Yes,
what are you teaching them to read? Are you teaching them to read in English? Really? All the aliens?
Right.
Why?
What about their cultures, their biology? You're not teaching them about, like, if you're doing like puberty class, like you can't, you just can't. Like,
or are you teaching everyone who's there, all of their species, different deals? That seems impossible.
And then you have to deal with the parents. Like, imagine Klingon parents. That's exhausting. This is
Imagine Paklet parents.
Right. It's one
my
of the most
child needs to find things that make brain go. You know, like you have to be conversant. You would basically have to be C-3PO, like a protocol.
It's one
expert
of the worst jobs in this future.
I can think of.
Yeah.
Especially in a post-need society.
And then in DS9.
What a thankless job.
In DS9, where there's like, your gods are different than our gods. And it's like,
and they shut the whole school down.
Yeah. That's exhausting.
Miss Kyle's got it rough.
She really does.
I didn't think of the depth of that.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do they not have emails or voicemails? There's a scene where he sits down with Picard Worf and he just keeps getting interrupted in his fucking badge.
Yes. Do they not have a thing that sends it to a messaging app?
Yeah. Email
Can you not
him.
Turn it off? Also, what if two people call the same badge at once? Like, I don't understand how
they
this system's
busy
even
signal
possible.
On one of them.
Right.
It feels like they wrote this before email and before internet, so they just couldn't conceive of that idea.
But it wasn't before answering machines.
Right, but it's that,
I want to hear Worf's outgoing badge machine. You've reached the badge of Worf, son of Moog.
That's what's interesting is that in this scene, I guess, because you see them get messages, right? Like you have a message from this admiral and it's a video message.
And it's a video.
So I would argue that Crusher and the teacher are being very inappropriate because I assume the badges are like army people have walkie talkies, right? For like immediate, like you need to come here. You need to do this.
This whole episode, then the whole crew is really cash, way more than usual.
Yeah, I think that's what's happening is like, Beverly and the teacher should send him a video message or whatever they do so that when Worf comes home, it'll be waiting for him. The fact that they're like fucking doing it on the intercom, on the badges.
On the reel, on the live.
It approves.
Well, Worf, like Amy, does not often get an A plot. He gets way more in DS9 than he gets in TNG.
Yeah.
So I think this is a glimpse into his life on the Enterprise. And the idea is, if Picard sets the tone, man, he's the captain. If Picard routinely treats you like shit and dismisses your opinions, other people are going to think that you ain't shit, right? I think everyone sort of doesn't care about Worf. Worf is a joke.
Yeah, it's funny how Worf really thrives on DS9. It's the same with Chief O'Brien, right?
And then in DS9, he's finally respected. Yeah.
Right, but it takes him a minute. There's, of course, the episodes where he's like button heads with Odo and he decides to live on the...
He lives on the Defiant alone, like a loser.
Yeah, because he's still like, he doesn't, and I love that DS9, it's like there's a lot of gray areas that Worf can't handle, and he has to live in a military life, essentially.
I love that. Because, and I love in DS9 when he and Jadzia go to Ryza and he reveals that he isn't like other Klingons. It isn't, not all Klingons are severe like him. It's him. He's specifically like that because of a childhood trauma. He is like a Ned Flanders because he's scared that he has too much strength and power otherwise, and he's going to destroy everything.
I don't, this isn't a spoiler, but Star Trek Picard has some prime Worf. They give Worf his due, like, because they're clearly new.
Michael Dorn is a treasure.
Yeah, they knew about the Worf effect at that point, so they actually make him badass because it's like modern fighting. So it's like Worf like decapitating people and shit, and you're like, oh fuck, it's like the Worf.
He's actually great with the bat left. Yeah, exactly. That's rad.
And they still keep the stoic funny Worf. I had a couple like loose notes.
I still have quotes, I wanted to still do a quote. This is like the parts where I think TNG really shines, right? In this case, it's more insightful human nature stuff and less philosophy, but he was no burden. I simply noted that a Klingon child required more attention than I could provide. Have you ever wondered how Alexander felt about being sent away? Are you saying his misconduct is the result of feeling abandoned? It's like, oh shit, Worf grappling with some real shit. You know, you have healing to do. Why not do it together? I like that stuff.
That's great.
Also, but also it's such a low bar for his growth in the same way that Amy's is, but it like they get off so scot-free. Am I in trouble? This is after the Gilvos and the fire and everything. Alexander asks, am I in trouble? And he says, yes, but we will discuss that at a later time. So really his growth is I'll yell at you later. Yeah. Whereas before I would have yelled at you right now.
I like,
so yeah, we're good.
It's interesting. Cause Worf, Amy's is, I argue Amy's plot is more sympathetic because it's really on Kif. Because Kif just doesn't tell her that that can happen. And I would be pissed. I would be like, so you didn't tell me you could get pregnant this way.
And when you explained it, then you didn't explain that there would be a 20-year gap between the birth and the parenthood responsibilities. Will you please fully explain your deal?
Right. Like, I'm way more sympathetic because she didn't set out to have a kid. Worf is less sympathetic, but he is. I really like how they explore his character because at the end of the day, he's not a great father. He never wanted to be a father.
And I actually think it's weirdly bold that throughout this and DS9, they stick to that. He's a bad father.
Yeah, he's a warrior.
That's an interesting choice.
He's a military guy and a warrior. He doesn't care. And Star Trek Picard is also kind of that. They don't deal with fatherhood, but they stick with that character. Worf is like, he's a military man. He will die and live in the military and do.
And basically his redeeming quality as a father is that he knows he sucks or he'll admit it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's his only redeeming quality on that ground.
Yeah. And so
my theory is that that's actually what it is to be a good Klingon father, because distant fathers breed warriors. Like,
right.
Maybe he's just doing what it, cause Worf's whole thing is he's always thinks that because he was raised by Federation people, he's not Klingon enough. And I think it's really cool how they sort of dig into, like, the teacher says he's defiant, he's overly aggressive. And Worf says, you just aren't used to dealing with Klingon children.
Right.
So essentially it's a race thing. Like, it's a culture clash,
right? That part where he's just like, get a load of this.
Get a load of this lady thinks she can control.
And again, she must be like,
but that's my point.
I've dealt with
Maybe he's a good father by Klingon standards. We don't know.
We don't know. I love the part where he sits his son down to show him his statue of naked men fighting to teach him about honor. Right.
You don't know why you lied, and yet you did.
Here is my naked man statue. A statue that, by the way, I would pay any amount of money to have in my house.
Just two thick Klingon boys wrestling.
There must be replicas of that.
It's Kalis and his brother, supposedly.
Yeah.
The only loose note I had is that the guy, the alien who's responsible for doing the Soliton wave experiment, has a real bad case of crusty butthole mouth.
Oh my God. So my only loose note is also about them, that I said they look like fucking zombies. They have dead person
terrible
flesh.
They have flesh all over, like little flesh lumps all over them.
Like, they should have sat down and been like, is it really a big deal if they all explode? They're disgusting. Let's just get rid of them. I had a couple of Futurama notes.
I think the ending is cute. It reminds me of the Offspring ending. Like, I do tear up. I accept your challenge is a cute way to do it. We can face the challenge of
trying to do this. Yeah. I think it's great. Amy surfing is one of those things that they turn on and off, I noticed in this show.
Right.
I just want to note that hypersleep is invented in this and never again, with the exception, of course, Fry's backstory. But like ship hypersleep, do they ever do this again?
Oh, no, I don't believe so.
Yeah,
no.
It's just very funny. That and the holodeck or the hollow shed, which is a hilarious name for a holodeck. And then you pointed out Amy just hijacks the ship. And I was like, that's
fully hijacks the ship. Yeah. And thinks it's like a cute prank. Yeah. But I guess she's entitled. I mean, she's from the Mars Wongs.
Right. And then, of course, shout out to the Kif giving birth animation. That's just like that. And the sounds are the most gnarly
so
fucking
gross
thing.
And good. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
I
they
love
used
that they did
in
that.
In the new season. They show that exact clip again.
I forgot about that.
Shall we do Joke Roulette? Joke-O-Rama?
Yeah. You mentioned Bigfoot's Choice.
Yeah. I'm slowly switching to calling it Joke-O-Rama, which I always should have.
Yeah.
I like Amy's first line.
Yep.
Man, the mega rad spot is giga sweet for party boarding.
Indeed, says Professor. Also, she says shman.
Shman. Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
When Zap spots Leela, she's reading a book called Great Machete Battles.
I flagged that. That's a real Robert Evans thing. Yeah. Let's see. If anyone needs me, I'll be in the Angry Dome.
The Angry Dome
was
great.
The Angry Dome. Yeah.
Leela, this is a long trip, so I'll go into hibernative sleeptosis to avoid using the oxygen.
Yep.
Hibernative sleeptosis is good.
I love it. Zap, activate glass window.
Yes.
Just the blinds.
Kif, I'm sensing a very sensual disturbance in the force. Prepare for ship-to-ship intimacy when they dock.
Zap gets punched. Let's try that a little lower and a lot softer.
Dude, this is the most we've ever written down the exact same ones.
Yeah.
Amy. Oh, Kif, I just needed to feel my lips pressed against your lipless beak.
The hollow shed, Kif. It can simulate anything you desire. Nothing can hurt you. Except when it malfunctions and the holograms become real. Amy, well, that probably won't happen this time.
I'm sure that won't happen this time. Oh, Spirit, that's the pony I always wanted, but my parents said I already had too many ponies. Yes, I programmed her in for you. 4 million lines of BASIC.
I also wrote that
down. Oh, which
down.
Also made me realize Kif is Barclay.
Yeah, he
Kif
is,
Kif is basically
he?
Their Barclay, yeah.
I like this floating sky castle, Amy. This isn't bad. My aunt had a place like this.
Moriarty, after all the hologram controls malfunction. Righto, gents. It's another simulation gone mad. Murder and mayhem, standard procedure. Real holographic simulated evil Lincoln is back.
So good.
One of the best ever.
They're going to get sucked out. Amy, Kif, hold on, Kif. I totally want to.
I totally want to. When he announces that he's pregnant, and he doesn't know who it could be, Zap says, damn, the last time this happened, I got slapped with 3 paternity suits.
Yeah. I also like when Kif flies out of the ship, Bender, have a good one.
oh, I also love to Attila the Hun. Spare me your space age techno babble, Attila the Hun.
Amy, yes, it's great. A great miracle, Leela. And not one of those bogus everyday miracles like a sunrise. Aren't you a male, Bender? Yeah, what's the deal? Just when I thought I figured you biological creatures out, it's something else. Let me at him.
When one of my race experiences feelings of love, you see, we enter a receptive state. Zap, you disgust me. Go on.
His DNA analyzer. Even I laughed at me when I built this alien cross-species genetic analyzer, but I guess I showed myself. And I love that it's just a fucking tilt-a-whirl. That
I think
Leela's
looks very funny at the
end. Yes, at the end.
It's a really good drawing of Leela.
It's such a good double whammy of her finding out that she's a mother.
And her hair is blown back.
Yeah. Visual gag, the bar sign, we believe any IT.
Let's see. Call me grandma like crazy. That's not really a joke. Shortly, the children will rend my loins in twain, burst forth and pull us down into the deep, dark waters of commitment.
I had that whole thing. The quivering mass of life within me will depend upon us both.
It's questing, seeking.
Yeah, that is one of my favorite fucking Futurama little monologues.
Monologues, yeah. The quickening. Oh, no. I must return to my homeworld for the ancient birthing rites. Scruffy. Yeah, let me know how that turns out.
good, I'm back, baby. Bender flying out
it's
of the
best
toad
one.
Of the cigar. Yeah.
It's the source of the gif usually. Yeah. Yeah. I'm back, baby, from the frog. I am the grand midwife. Hi. Just a good hi from Fry. Yep. Very straightforward.
Fucking love the midwife. The birthing is complete. I will now take my leave. I live here, so I won't actually be going anywhere, but you don't have to talk to me anymore. And then just adding her to the background
standing
of the scene
there.
From then on.
She's a great bit. Only other one I had is also from her. Amy, I still don't know if I'm ready for this, but I do know I love you, Kif, grand midwife. Great. Now I lost my place. Yep. I'm starting over.
I also like the, please join hands with your beloved Schmizmar. Oh, right. Sorry, but I've memorized the ceremony by rote and it mentions her a lot. Kif, I'll try to endure. Good. Cause I'm not changing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Solid.
Good Jokerama. Ooh, this is going to be a hard one. I'm realizing as we go into the next segment where we decide which episode is better, man, it almost seems cruel when it's a hard decision.
Yeah.
I'm like, why do I have to decide? But this is Maximum Warp, Knock It Up a Notch, Bam, Energize.
Warp 9. Knock It Up a Notch, Maximum Warp. Bam!
Make it so. Engage. No, don't engage. Energize.
It's hard, but it's also easy, in my opinion. Because
really?
I think they're both great episodes. Great episodes. However,
I think they're both good. Yeah, both
one
good.
One of them matters more to the overall plot. And that's the one with Alexander in it, right? Because this ultimately... The Kif Amy, this plot line is two episodes. It's this and it's the revival, right?
Yes.
Whereas
true.
Alexander is a big character that is throughout Star Trek. It's hard because, okay, so this is hard. You're right. Because this isn't a particularly memorable Alexander episode.
I was going to say, I would still go with the Futurama because as an episode, the Soliton wave is so weak and has nothing to do with it. And it's such like a hacky...
Yeah,
just
you're right.
A hack job of combining those two things. Whereas the Futurama, I understand that, but Alexander's still not hugely supported
and
in Star Trek.
He has better episodes. You turn me right around.
He has,
I'm going with Futurama.
Double Futurama.
180,
yeah, me
baby.
Too. Futurama. All right. That's that. Two for two. Good job, Fuch. And let's get into my favorite segment, Dave's most hated segment. He told me. I'm sorry. I wasn't supposed to admit it.
No.
This is where we get to know the audience and answer some questions from our fans. Hailing frequencies open, Cap'em. I don't want to live on this Plap'em anymore.
Open hailing frequencies.
Frequencies open, sir.
I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
And this is, as you might imagine, the Q&A segment. Our first Q, I'm the host, I curated these. Our first Q is from Slaw In, Slaw Out at Slawroo on X.
Huh.
Do you think you could ever love an AI pet? How advanced would it need to be? And would you want an Earth Animal Classic model or something new and funky? I'll go first to save Dave some thinking time. I think I could, this is how dumb I think I am and the human brain is. I think I could easily come to love an AI pet. People come to love like keychains, buildings, Ferris wheels and
cats.
Shit.
They come
I
to
think
love
I could,
cats.
I could come to, who hate us. They objectively hate us. I think I could come to love an AI pet that is surprisingly unsophisticated as long as it was fuzzy and acted like it loved me.
Yeah.
And of course, because of that reason, that frees me to do something weird. I would want a weird fucking Targ or something. And I'm sure I could easily love it.
Yeah, I didn't need to think about this because I have two cats. They're basically lizards with fur. They're unfeeling little creatures.
Slap fur on it and we're good. That's
yeah,
the main thing.
You
fur
can argue.
And warmth.
I always think about that, like the nature of the soul, where it's like, what if they don't have souls? What if they are just like these, like they're essentially AI?
They're like insects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either way, I could love a rock if it was in the right condition. Yeah, I'm the same way.
Absolutely.
Where it's like, I think love isn't
love
dependent
is stupid.
On
you do it. You choose what you love.
Right. It's not dependent on how conscious the other thing is.
Right.
It, you know, I can
it can
love
be
a
sports team.
It can be
it
a
can
sandwich.
Be in, right.
Yeah. I mean, obviously there's different degrees of love, but like, yeah, like I lived with pet lizards. It was the same. Like, and I know that AI, it's all the same to me, bitch, because like, when you think about empathy and it's like that idea of like I don't like killing insects. And like, there's a very good scientific, and like, you know, there's theories that like, it doesn't matter. Insects are probably just little machines, but it's just like, if it exists, if it moves, if it seems to have its own,
it reminds you of yourself in some way.
Yeah. Then I'm going to have empathy for it, and I will be capable of caring for that thing.
That's the nature of human empathy, right?
Right. And like, in the end, it's like, it's the same question with Data, which is like, what if it doesn't have a soul? And it's like, well, better safe than sorry, right? Like, better treat things with empathy than not. Even if that thing ends up just being a rock, it's better way of going through things. So yeah, easily.
Thank you, Sly and Sly Out. Next up, Andres Alvarez at Nerd Numbers, one of our classic standby fans. Hey, Andres, good to hear from
Hi.
You. Love the show. You too, rock. Thank you. Okay. Kevin Smith directs a Clerks-style movie of random characters in Star Trek or Futurama. Ideal venue and characters. So obviously in Futurama, you could do the 7 to the 11th power. But characters, I don't know. It would be interesting if Zoidberg got a job at the 7 to the 11th power.
Right. And it's it already exists for Star Trek. It's called Lower Decks. Like, that is the Kevin Smith version of Star Trek.
Is it? I haven't seen it. Is it that focused on just two people?
I haven't seen it either, but that is what Kevin Smith does, right? He does, like...
It mundane.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be Clerks. It can be Mallrats. All of his stuff is people sitting around talking about crap, right? And so, like, that's my thought for Star Trek.
Okay. Well, my thought for Futurama is that I think it would be Zoidberg and the Professor. So you can hear Billy West just talk to himself. And because the Professor has crazy conspiracy theories like a Kevin Smith character,
right?
Working at the 7 to the 11th power store. And Bender and Fry and Leela come in all the time. Oh, every episode, Bender, Fry, and Leela come in, and you can deduce what exciting adventure they're on based on what they purchase, but we never follow them out. It's just about the Professor and Zoidberg shooting the shit at the store.
That's cool. I have an idea. The Head Museum. I would do the Head Museum.
Really good.
Because it's celebrity all talking. Guests. Yep, and it's all talking, baby. That's what Kevin Smith loves. So it's people shooting the shit with like very little to do. And of course, they're
referencing
have the
pop culture and celebrity and stuff.
Exactly,
yeah. All right. I want to say to Ash Barker, I do plan to get to your very long question, but I'm going to save it for two episodes from now when I host again because it's so long.
Kinky.
And I'm so very, very tired today. But thank you, Ash Barker, for the long, thoughtful one. I'm skipping for now. We'll get it next time. And going straight on to our final question from Brandon Lanham at Earth Mallet on Twitter, which I mistakenly called X earlier. I apologize. And they say, it's not a question, MMO style. Well, they put a period, but it is a question. What is your Star Trek character, MMO style? Rank, species, homeworld, and specialty? I think I know mine. I would have no rank because I wouldn't be in Starfleet, which I think is, you don't have to be in Starfleet to be in the Star Trek universe. And I think that's an important distinction that we miss. It seems like, but you keep remembering this show is basically JAG. It's like, it's specifically focused on the military, but we forget that. And we think it's just like Star Wars. Isn't that Star Wars is just civilian, but I mean, the Empire is the military, but you know what I mean? Our heroes are civilians. Our heroes in this are career military officers. So I would avoid all that. I would be an Allurian, which is what Guinan is. And it's the most mysterious to me and most interesting because they have like special listening powers and powers of suggestion. So no rank, species Allurian, homeworld gone because the Borg wiped it out. Specialty. I do probably in line with me. I would do some kind of performance instead of bartending. I'd be a stand-up comedian because we see from TNG that the bar for stand-up comedians, even the one the computer considers the best stand-up comedian of all time, is fucking low as shit. So I would make a killing as a stand-up comedian, Allurian, who listens to the audience and then spits back exactly what they want to hear. Boom. Nailed it.
That's
not pre-thought out.
Yeah, I'm not pre-thought. So the first thing I went to was Klingon. Klingon, because they're like barbarians.
They're fun.
And
they're
I
just so fun.
Barbarians. I Cardassian women are fucking are nuts, and I love them.
That's true.
They're like that that weird, the weird, sexy kind of crazy. I love the one where the one is all over O'Brien. Poor fucking O'Brien.
Because he's being a dick. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think, and this is a shout out to Quark's mom, I think I would be a Ferengi woman who's like in the mob or like secretly doing business, like a spy situation.
Would you be under Rom's rule where women have rights, or you mean before that, secret?
Like where you have to be secret. I kind of want to be a gangster only because Star Trek Picard had a Ferengi gangster, and that was really
that was cool.
Oh, that's great. Also, they, you know what, Picard also introduced an idea that I never thought about: Vulcan gangster. Using logic to do crimes.
That's
really cool. And so like, I like the idea of Star Trek gangster, like on one of those shitty planets where like, you know, the one where Picard gets got and they have to like go down and act. They're so obviously cops. Yeah. They're so obviously cops in this seedy bar. I want to do like seedy Star Trek gangster planet.
That sounds cool. Yeah. What is Jabba the Hutt of? I mean, we know they're called the Syndicate, but let's see them. Like, we don't see them much.
Yeah.
Let's get into that.
So I'm going to go with, you know, ultimately, so because this is
neither
a character
of us
flag,
went military,
I would do
no ranks.
Cardassian woman on a gangster planet. I think that's what I'd go with.
That's dope. Yeah.
Yeah.
This makes me want to do my, I did create a DS9 Dungeons and Dragons module. Ooh. And now I kind of want to run it with people. I've never run it. I just made it for fun.
After playing Baldur's Gate, I'm like, this is so easy to port. Like the Mind Flayer is just the Borg, you know, like barbarians are just fucking Klingons and so on and so forth.
I love normal Klingons because they love life. They're like life affirming.
Yeah.
Not like Worf.
It would just be so easy to make like an RPG D&D.
You could make an incredible Star Trek RPG, but they haven't made an incredible one.
No,
I don't know why.
Obviously, they've made plenty, but yeah, they like have the Baldur's Gate people just make a Star Trek RPG, and you'll never hear from me again.
That's right. The podcast will end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of podcasts ending.
Oh yeah.
I guess that's the best segue possible.
It really is.
Dave, where can people find every even-numbered episode of Star Trek The Next Futurama?
Over at Gamefully Unemployed, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. You also get the other half of Spiel Boys over there and some exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, Fox Mulder's Maniac. I said that so fast. Yep. You're going to have to
and
slow down your podcast.
And you already patronize us. If you're listening to this, you're our patron, so thank you. The only news is my book. Check out my book. It was available as of Saturday. It's on the Patreon page. Thanks, y'all. We out.